We'll be reading Galatians 4:4-6 on page 1813 in the Pew Bible. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption of sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father.
Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. How many of you like surprises? Okay, how many of you like to give surprises? How many of you like to receive a surprise? Maybe you're like me. I love to give surprises, but I'd rather not receive them. There's just something about being on the other end of a surprise, and it just, I'm uncomfortable with it sometimes. My birthday was a couple of weeks ago, and it was Black Friday, so it was, for us in my household, it was sandwiched between two Thanksgivings. We had Thanksgiving with my wife's family on Thursday, and Thanksgiving with my family on Saturday, and I told my girls and my wife, I said, I just want to rest. Let's just be together. And they completely obliged. They let me sleep in. They fixed me breakfast. I got to take advantage of some Black Friday sales and some gift cards that I had received for my birthday. So I went shopping with my daughter. My wife bought our favorite Chinese food, and my girls kind of scattered off and watched TV and did some homework. And it was just the two of us at the dining room table eating our favorite Chinese food, and it was a lovely night. And then we ended the day by a couple of hot, competitive games of Uno. And then the phone rang. It was my mom. She hadn't called me all day. I received a happy birthday text from her, but no hearing of her voice, and she called frantically and said, Mark, I've fallen. I'm in the garage. I was putting back the Christmas boxes, and I can't get up. I need your help. Yeah. I listened. I hung up the phone, and I sat there. And my girls, knowing what was happening, because they're in on the surprise. What's the matter, Dad? What's the matter, babe? Oh, it's just my mom. She called. She said she hurt herself. She's fallen. She can't get up. She's in the garage. Well, don't you think you should go help her? Yeah, probably. So I moseyed up the stairs, grabbed my shoes, grabbed my sweatshirt, looked in the mirror, combed my hair, because I knew what was coming. I got downstairs, tied my shoes, and I looked up to my wife and my daughters, and I said, am I going to find my mom on the ground in the garage hurting? Or am I going to walk into a surprise party? And they went, Dad, you got to go. I'm like, all right, I'll see you guys soon. And lo and behold, I went over to my mom's house. I walked in, and what's the first word I heard? Surprise! Right, family, friends. And I was like, oh, okay. But once I got there, it was fun. And isn't that how surprises are supposed to work?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be more than you expect and more than you can imagine. And it was fun. It was rejuvenating. And it was a good time. And that's how surprises work. And this morning I want to take you through what I'm calling a Christmas surprise. We're familiar with the Christmas story, aren't we? I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord or your spiritual journey, but at some place in time, you were exposed to what this Christmas story is. And you're familiar that God sent his son Jesus, and he was born of a virgin, Mary, and he came into our world. And the word that we use within that story is to Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And that's the Christmas story, that God sent his son to live with us. But there's more. The Christmas story doesn't start or end at the birth. It starts at the birth of Jesus. It does not end at the birth of Jesus. Because we know that Jesus went on in his lifestyle, and we know that he grew up in his house with his mom and his dad. We know that he entered into ministry, and he served mankind in this world for a couple of years, and he died on the cross, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, he crucified, dead, and buried. And before he died, he went to his followers, he went to his disciples, the people that were near and dear to him, and he said, "Friends, I'm going to leave you soon. But I'm sending somebody to be with you. And the same power that lives in me, I am sending to you." And I guess you could just say, and simply, that God came to live with us. And God came to live in us. And that, my friends, is the Christmas surprise. God came to live with us. In the form of Jesus. He dwelt among us. But God came to live in us. He sent his Spirit into our hearts, into our lives. And to me, that is the Christmas surprise. It's not one or the other. It's both. And it's God loving us so much that he came to live with us. And he came to live in us. Our passage this morning is from Galatians 4. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Some translations say, but God. But in the fullness of time. And that little three-little word at the very beginning can be a message in and of itself. Because what is to come in this verse is something magnificent. It's something amazing. It is something that only God through his power can do. So let me ask you this morning. Is there a but God moment in your life? Is there a but God moment in your church? But God in the fullness of time did something only he could do. He sent his Son. And friends, as Christ followers, we too can have those but moments in our hearts and in our lives and in our churches. And I encourage you as you go through this Christmas season to seek those moments, to seek those times where there is something that happens that only God... I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. Woo! Thank you. But there's something that only God can do through his power. You're in a bit of transition as you seek a pastor in this church full time. And those are crazy moments to wonder what God is up to and wonder how the community is going to be served. And we ask a lot of questions, but I encourage you in these times of transition, to put yourself in a place where something happens that only God can do. And let that be your but God moment. Because in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman. It only can be said of one man that God sent his Son. That's Jesus. And we were all born of a woman. And God sent his Son, born of a woman, to dwell with us, to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And that is a wonderful, amazing Christmas story. And we celebrate that at Christmas. The verse goes on. And it says, when the fullness of time. And it's generally supposed that by the fullness of time, Paul means to indicate that Christ came at a specific time, at a specific moment when the world was ready and prepared to receive him. He used the Greeks, he used the Romans, and he used the Jews. The Greek was the common word of the day. It was the language that people spoke. And so there was a fluency in interaction amongst the men and women. And people could speak to each other in the Greek language, and it was common. It was covered the world, and it was well received. It was just a common form of communication. And God used the Romans. He used the rulers of the time. It was a single government, and no one dared try to overthrow the Roman government. They did, yes, they ruled with an iron fist, but there was a peace that covered the world under Roman rule. There was a phrase at the time that all roads led to Rome. And so, transportation-wise and maneuvering on roads, while it seems simple to us at the birth of Jesus, that was something that God used. In the fullness of time, he used the Greeks, he used the Romans, and then he used the Jewish people. There was an expectancy from our friends of this new Messiah, this Savior coming, to this King to rule the world. And it was not multiple gods, but it was one God. And so God, in the fullness of time, He prepared this earth through the use of mankind, through the Roman rule, through the Greek language, and through the Jewish expectancy of a Savior, of a King. And he used all of that to his advantage, because in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. The passage continues and says, he came to redeem those under the law, that they too might receive adoptions as sons. I want to concentrate on a term, adoptions, that he came to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoptions as sons. Adoption is not the method of entry into God's family. The Bible tells us that we are saved by grace. But adoptions is receiving all of the rights and the privileges that comes with being part of God's family. My dad was adopted. I bear the last name Harris because of my grandparents' choice to adopt my father. He was one of three that were adopted in that family. My grandparents were very generous, and they spent time with my father, and they cultivated an atmosphere of generosity and family time, and I grew up valuing all of that. And it started by my grandparents' choice to adopt my dad. My sister continues that in our family today. She has four kids. She's married. Two of the four are out of the house. But you walk into her house for a family dinner, and it's crowded. She's accumulated what she calls bonuses. They're bonuses. They're friends of my nephews. They're friends of my niece. And those friends have gone on and gotten married, and those friends have kids of their own. So it's not just one bonus, but in some cases it's four bonuses, all in one family. And those bonuses come over every night, every Thursday night, and they have dinner together as a family. And they're not like literally adopted, but figuratively, they are. Their presents are going to be under her tree. And when I have Thanksgiving or Christmas at my house, I always have to ask my sister how many bonuses are coming. My mom does the same. And they have been adopted into her family, and as a result, they've been adopted into my family, and their names are going to be on some Christmas presents underneath my Christmas tree as well. And isn't that what it means to be adopted? That God sent his Son to redeem those under the law, that we may be adopted into his family, and we have received all of the rights and the privileges that come along with that. It's an amazing concept. And I love to share that aspect of that story, of Christ and his nature and his love for us, because some of us don't come from wonderful families. But churches can serve that role, can't they? You as a church have the opportunity to adopt your neighbors, adopt your friends, adopt family members into this body, into this building. And you get to love them. You get to care for them. And all of the rights and the privileges that come with that, you give them, and you give them freely. That's a great image of what God does for us, because he came to live with us and he came to live in us. And if you think that this love that you share with other people and the work that we do as Christ followers, if you think that you have to do it alone, you're wrong. And that's the beauty of the Christmas surprise, because he came to live in us. The passage ends with Paul telling us that he sent his Spirit. And he sent the Spirit into our hearts. And if you're wondering why I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit at Christmas and not at Pentecost, let me share with you what J.I. Packer says. I think it will resonate with you, and you will come to an understanding of the Spirit's role in our lives. This is what J.I. Packer says. The Christian's life, in all its aspect, I'm going to sneeze again. Thank you. The Christian's life, Packer says, in all its aspects, intellectual and ethical, devotional and relational, upsurging in worship and outgoing in witness, is supernatural. Only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it. So apart from him, not only will there be no lively believers and no lively congregations, there will be no believers and no congregations at all. The Spirit, only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it. So apart from him, there will be no lively believers, no lively congregations. There will be no believers and no congregations at all. You and I are part of the church. We're part of both the local and the global church. And God sent his Son that he may live, not just for eternity, but for those in our midst. And the church is the hope of the world. And friends, this is where the power of the Spirit comes in. He gives us all that we need, and it's more than we can ask and more than we can imagine. And as you and I focus on living out the mission and living out the words of Jesus and following his ways, we can be encouraged and rest in the fact that the Spirit lives in us. For the Galatians chapter 4:4-6 tells us that God came to live with us, and God came to live in us. And the Spirit lives in us, and he gives us the power and the empathy and the compassion and the love that we need to care for those in our midst, to walk alongside a community that is hurting, a city that is in pain. It empowers us to go about doing what we do at MBF as we build quality and sustainable medical care in the name of Jesus. And that, my friends, is the surprise of Christmas. It is more than we can ask. It's more than we can imagine. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the reality of Galatians 4. For Scripture tells us that you came to live with us and that you came to live in us. It's more than we can ask, and it's more than we can imagine. And we thank you for this wonderful, surprising gift at Christmas. May we draw upon your name and your Spirit to be a gift to our community, a gift to our world, offering help and hope when needed, driven by your love to care for those in our midst, because we know that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to live with us and in us. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.